Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Of course, tomorrow we will not be on because of the Phillies. So I'll remind you about Brewers Outlet today. All right, the play-by-play call of the day. 36 seconds in, this happened.
30 seconds into the game, a second look for Duke, and here's Zion, his first touch. Fell down at the free throw line. He's grabbing at his right and left knee as the other way goes Johnson to lay it in. And a scary moment here at the outset as now Zion Williamson reaches down to his left ankle. His shoe is off. It looks like he stepped through his shoe, John. Like the seam on the shoe broke, his foot came through the shoe. And he's back to his feet and walking to the bench. Jose Fonseca and Mike Krzyzewski taking a look. I'm pretty sure he ripped through his shoe when he fell down awkwardly.
And it turned out that they say at least it's a mild knee sprain. And how long he's out, they have not said yet. All right. Here in the Sunbury Motors studio, we had to send an Uber to get him here. Because it's one full street down. He's at the top of the hill. Mark Brennan, Fight On State. Mark?
It's great to be here, Steve. I was just thinking today about the old days when we were at Damon's doing the trivia. Yeah. T. Frank, you would have loved it. It was me, Steve, Paul Alexander, and Jeff Brown, right?
Yes.
And they would have us in on Thursday night and do trivia, and there were a couple times we finished first in the nation.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of Paul, and it wasn't because of Jeff. It was because of one guy who's got a photographic memory.
Except boxing?
I knew the boxing. They brought boxing me in for thing? The one boxing question. But, so that was... Yeah, I was thinking about coming on the show, and that it, for some reason it drew me back. And I think it was Paulie's birthday a couple days ago on Facebook. So I don't mean to hijack your show, but it was an absolute blast doing it.
We had a lot of fun doing that.
Well, they gave us free food, and for those of us who did some other things, they gave us some free other things. But
we're like, this is great.
It was fun. So
we had a good
skeletons
time.
In Steve's closet are coming out.
Yeah, I could answer questions about the 1920 Chicago White Sox, but I mean that's fun. Let's start with Zion Williamson because it does bring up again what has become a question that is asked repeatedly. We know it's the NBA and the NBA Players Association, just like it's the NFL and the NFL Players Association. They set the eligibility as to how you're supposed to do this. Obviously, when it comes to a young man like this, who I believe has an $8 million policy, he does have an $8 million insurance policy. How do you view this? And there are questions about, obviously money, but there's also those who have suggested trust funds. How do you view all of that as how it plays out?
Listen, my view has changed over the last couple of years. And you know when it really hit home for me, Steve, was watching the Super Bowl, and they had that NFL commercial, and Saquon Barkley ends up being the guy out of all these legends who's on at the end of the commercial. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Because he's the one running into the future.
Right. And so my point being, there was a time 10 years ago, whatever, when I thought it really is good for kids to come and get into a college atmosphere before going on to pro. And it's going to benefit the 95% who are going to not necessarily be the Zion Williamson or the Saquon Barkley at the next level. But now, I don't know how you can deny somebody the opportunity to make the sort of money that they're going to make. I just don't know how you can do it when it doesn't happen in sports, it doesn't happen in golf, it doesn't happen in all these other sports. I've changed. I've done an about face, and I think these kids ought to be able to be eligible to go into especially the NBA immediately. The NFL might, maybe I'm being a hypocrite, but I think that's a little bit different jump from high school to the pro level.
Physically it is,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, and so there are guys who I think could make that jump. I mean, a Saquon could, but you would never see an offensive lineman who was good enough to do it. But yeah, to me, I don't know all the particulars of the rules, and you talk about the Players Association, but to me, I think these kids ought to be able to go right to the pros and make whatever money they're going to make and set their families up for life.
I've changed on that, too. I remember in 2006 where they put the one and done in. I was hoping it would be two and done.
Yeah.
All right. And not for the sake of the college game. I've always been thinking about, and if I'm the NBA or the NFL, I want a more mature league, don't you?
Yes.
Idealistically. But I kept thinking, okay, 2 and 20. Now I think after 2 years, you really do know whether you're capable of making the jump. Now I've changed. And a couple of years ago, I said, you know what? It's your life. You want to go? Go. Right? And guess what? No protection. Oh, maybe. I hear ridiculous things such as, well, if they don't make it, they could still go back to college. Oh, give me a break. It's your decision. You make the decision to go pro, you're a pro.
If you want to join the Army when you're 18, you can join the Army. I think you can. At least you used to be able to. I don't know if there's a different age limit at this point.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, there will always be kids who think they're good enough. And doing, what I do, we cover a lot of recruiting. And believe me, it's not as much the kids as it is the parents. A lot of the parents think their kid is going to be the next, Saquon or whoever. Every parent thinks that. Not enough of them have the perspective. So that's the difficult part about it, is that there's always going to be people on the other side. But I don't think you could err on the side of protecting those folks at costing. I mean, listen, let's knock on wood and hope Zion is fine.
Right.
But say he had blown out an ACL. If you watch that,
he
very easily could have. Now, I'm guessing Nike would have probably had a pony up and do something if that were the case.
Sure.
But, you look at it, and the question now is, is it even worth his while coming back to play this year? And it's so weird because I looked at that Fiesta Bowl with Saquon, and I know I keep going back to Saquon because that's kind of my wheelhouse.
Sure.
I still give him so much credit for playing, but I almost now half think he's nuts because I had I knew Saquon was going to be great in the NFL. I mean, I knew it. I knew he was going to be a really good player. I didn't know that he was going to be the presence, the advertising presence that he has immediately become. I mean, we had access to him and talked to him, and he represented himself well and carried himself well. And, you could tell he was an outstanding person and represented the Lehigh Valley and all these things. But if you would have told me that he was going to be, representing MasterCard and Dunkin' Donuts and, everybody else and Nike and, doing the job he is, he's become bigger than just an athlete. And you look back at him playing in that Fiesta Bowl and you're thinking, wow, in hindsight being 2020, why would he even have played in that? And it's tough. It's tough for the schools. It's tough for the teammates. It's tough for the coaches. But ultimately, you have to look at the best interest of the individual, I think.
An unintended consequence of what I'm about to talk about will be said advertiser gives you $500,000 as an athlete to, and we'll put it in the trust fund.
Yeah.
All right, that's one of those unintended consequences. Let's be real. It's a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
We're suddenly out of nowhere. The Audi dealership of Beverly Hills wants to offer said football or basketball player that kind of money to do that. How do you feel about the idea of trust funds and the ability to use the likeness where the money is sitting there, and then when they leave, they can have it?
I think that gets too complicated.
Okay.
I don't know how you monitor it, and I think you would run into instances where that then becomes part of the recruiting process.
Sure.
So just like if you're a Major League Baseball player, there's an allure to playing for the Yankees or your beloved Red Sox or Los Angeles or, well, kind of my Phillies. But in the there's a big difference right. between playing for a major market team and playing for, you know, Tampa Bay or whatever they're called. And with no offense to whatever that team is down there.
The Rays.
There. Yeah, the Rays. But you, that, is that my, am I making my point?
Yes, you are.
So
yes.
in college sports, you know what would happen.
Goodness sakes, that's the team your team beat in the World Series.
I know.
Come
and
on,
it's a
man.
Guy that
they're
guy
your
from,
van- they're your vanquished
a guy
group.
From my hometown, Hazleton.
Managed
them, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but that's, you know, I'm not kind of in baseball mode. I'm rarely in baseball mode. I'm in baseball mode when the Phillies are doing well and
sure.
Chris Wheeler's up here visiting and that sort of stuff.
Right, exactly. Yeah. All right, so that's because I think there's a lot of debate as to how you handle that. Because
well, yeah, it's one of those things.
Obviously, they don't want to pay them.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, Steve, where it's almost like with the transfer rules,
which is the next topic.
Yeah, well, yeah. So okay, let's make this transfer portal that everybody can enter, and you know, it's for the best of the athletes. Well, the NCAA does that, and I don't know, was it the ADs or the presidents, whoever, you know, whoever's idea that was. But they didn't think through the entire process. So now you have a situation where you have however many kids at Penn State, scholarship was... No, it wasn't. I forget what the number was that are in the transfer portal.
14,
you go to
14.
Our site, Lines 247, we have a thing up there.
I think it's 14.
But whatever it is, you have these kids who enter the portal, and especially for the scholarship players, once they begin, from what I could gather, once they begin the spring semester, they're on scholarship for the entire spring semester.
That's right.
So Penn State's paying for their school, but they're not part of the program.
Right.
So, and the other part of it is these kids who are deciding to leave are kind of in a purgatory. So where are they working out? They're not working out with the team. They're not practicing with the team.
Right, because they have elected to leave it.
Right. But so these are the sort of things that have to be thought out before you implement these rules. And going back to the trust fund thing, that's great in principle.
Right. Well, that's why I said the unintended consequence.
Right,
that's
right.
How I prefaced it.
Absolutely. And that's what I'm getting at. So it's great. Yeah, you know what? This would be a great idea. But I would love to see somebody sit down and work out the logistics of that and say, well, this is exactly how it's going to work, and have some scrutiny put to that, some
right.
public scrutiny, so you could work out some of these problems. I am not against kids having the ability to transfer. I'm not. I mean, especially for the grad transfer thing, that's great. If you've come and earned your degree, that's tremendous. You should be able to go do what you want. But then the other unintended consequence of the grad transfer is, so now Penn State, this is where I got my 11 number. Penn State brought in 11 early
yes.
enrollees.
Yes.
So I'm not good with numbers, but they brought in 11 scholarship early enrollees.
Right.
So the goal at Penn State is for these kids to get here and not only be acclimated to the program, but be acclimated academically.
Exactly.
Penn State, as much as any other school, is graduating kids in 3.5 and 4 years.
Right.
So now there's a disincentive for programs to have kids graduate early. Now, that's not going to happen at Penn State. And I don't think it's going to happen at Michigan or Ohio State or, you know, a lot, you know, Notre Dame. It's not going to happen at a lot of schools where
Harvard.
They're going to say, listen, no, we're going to slow play you going through because we don't want you to be a grad transfer.
Right.
They wouldn't say that.
No.
They would do it. But you know there are programs out there that right. don't care about academics that would there would be a disincentive for kids to get through. And that's another thing about some of these transfer rules that I don't think they really thought through.
Well, one of them is they were going to put these transfer rules in August, right? And one of them was going to be it didn't really matter if you wanted to transfer, you could play right away, and they left that one off the table.
Yeah.
My problem with the transfer rule, number one, is all the waivers they're granting.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't take care of my hangnail. All right, you got a waiver. I mean that to me that's the bothersome part. If you get your degree, you've done your part. And the school's done its part.
Absolutely.
Okay, everybody's done their part. The academic support people did, you did, coaching staff did. I mean, along the way everybody did their part. But when I'm seeing transfers happen and instead of sitting out a year, okay, and everybody's getting a waiver. Right now, 5 out of every 6 guys getting a waiver.
Right, and how are they getting them? They're going through attorneys. And what's happening? The NCAA, learned from Penn State that once attorneys start coming after them, once they're not, you know, governing like a dictatorship, once the attorneys start coming after them, they're in a tough spot.
I'm baffled by the, I guess they're called advisors. I'm baffled by that. What does a college student need an advisor for?
Right.
I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand what an undergraduate college student needs an advisor for, to handle their financial affairs from their stipend.
Yeah.
To handle. I mean, I don't get that. If I'm thinking about the draft, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. If I'm draft eligible, okay. But the quarterback at Ohio State's not draft eligible. What does he need an advisor for?
Well, he's a sophomore. I mean, he wasn't even in school for. He was in school one semester.
Right. He's been in school one advisor. To do what? To tell him how to get to Ohio State?
Yeah.
I don't get that part. I mean, that's part of the we're not thinking here. They don't.
But it's another instance, Steve, where they implement a rule without thinking about all the ramifications. And that's, the thing Joe used to say is I would rather play a kid a day or a year too late than a day too early or whatever.
He always said a game too early rather than a game too late.
Right. And I think that with some of these things.
Or flip it around. I'd rather play a game too late. But
people know what we're
late.
Talking
yeah,
about.
Right.
But I think one of the issues with the NCAA is they've made these hasty moves without thinking them through, and they're better off. Again, I think they really have to make things public before they come up with hard and fast rules. I think that they should be open to public scrutiny, because listen, no matter what you're doing, there are probably people out there who are going to realize loopholes and things that you're missing when you're sitting there. It's like when I'm writing a story.
Those are called advisors.
Yeah, well, but
they find all the loopholes.
If I'm sitting there writing a story and I'm grinding on that story for 2 hours, and then I'll have somebody copy edit it, they're going to find mistakes that I couldn't find because I was just staring at the thing for so darn long.
Right.
And that's what I think happens is that they think they have all the answers. And I don't think any of it's done out of malice. I think they're trying to do the right thing with these things, but I think they just act too hastily sometimes.
I think part of it is, yes, I understand the intent. Okay, so I understand the intent part. I also think they're trying to react so quickly to what they think the current environment is that it's like Jamari Wheeler sometimes with the basketball. You've got to go the same speed as the ball, and the NCAA sometimes doesn't go at the same speed as the reaction.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with that.
You know, and that's that, you know, some of these things do take time. Now, stipend, they went the right direction. Okay. Food, they went the right direction. And I felt like all of that stuff was fairly well thought out. This other stuff has not been, and part of it's been, you know, I think they feel like they dodged something with the Northwestern thing. Now that, you know, they've never, you notice how they've never released what the vote was.
Yeah.
And the vote was, I do know from somebody at Northwestern, the vote was significantly against. Like, I'm talking like a 3-4-1 margin against.
Okay.
Which is fairly significant when you've got 70, 75 guys that voted. But I think they've been reacting to that ever since because I think they've been concerned about that.
Well, as they should be, but then what that means is it's something they should have been worried about 10 years ago. They should have had the foresight.
Well, yeah. Well, that's where this case in California.
I haven't followed that.
Case in California is one that they think they might lose. Now, obviously, they'll appeal it. Okay, so it'll work its way up, so they can delay, you know, through appeals. But here's my issue, and let's see what you think. Say the day comes that you have to pay athletes on the college level. Let's just say that the day comes. Okay, well, there's full stadiums and arenas and TV contracts. You can do it, except I think you're going to see a lot of sports get dropped.
Well, yeah.
All right? And as I've said to people here, with all due respect, Penn State's not going to drop wrestling. Okay. But 50 others might.
Yeah. And then what does that do
by
extension to Penn State wrestling?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's not a point of being mean. I'm trying to be logical here.
No. The Penn State's athletic department is self-sufficient.
Yeah.
And why is that? Because of football.
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent, basketball, and I guess hockey is a break-even proposition. But beyond that, I think everything...
Yeah. The TV contracts, the radio... The radio contract never comes up. That's not a small contract either.
Well, whatever it is, all I know is that should be much bigger. They should have much more money for that radio contract.
I'm saying for the athletic department, it's not a small contract.
No, I get what you mean.
Right.
Yeah.
TV contract, radio contract, obviously corporate partners, things like that. It all revolves around what they're, the sports that they quote they can.
Right. But how then are you going to pay the athletes? And I think this is what you were getting at. How are you going to pay the athletes and still pay for all of your.
Everything else, right. And not only that, but what will be the first thing that happens? You will get something dealing with Title IX.
Yeah.
So if you're paying, let's say they're 98 scholarship athletes, right? 85-13. Well, you're going to have to pay 98.
Right. Yeah, and that's, another thing that nobody is thinking about when they're saying, well, you know what? Zion Williamson deserves to be paid X. Saquon Barkley deserves to be paid.
Right.
But who is going to be on the other side of the ledger?
How many athletes on this campus do you think right now could have an endorsement contract?
Boy, I know that there's a handful of wrestlers who could definitely have endorsement contracts.
Right.
And a handful of football players. I mean, I'm trying to think of this year moving forward. I mean, last year, obviously, somebody like Trace would have...
A basketball player.
Yeah. Lamar, maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, beyond that. But I think football-wise, you would be looking at... I mean, clearly, Saquon would have been... I mean, as we know now...
Right.
The marketing people were just waiting for him.
Could it be 5 to 10 football players?
If that, yeah.
Now, here's the reason like a unit. The offensive line guys. That's five.
Right.
If somebody wanted to do a promotion revolving around them, So 5 to 10, a basketball player, minimum two wrestlers.
Right.
Okay. I think we know which two. One in particular.
Blue hair.
Yeah. Maybe a hockey player. Maybe.
Yeah, no, I don't mean to disrespect hockey, but I don't think people know them by.
Yeah, they have a fan following.
A niche
though,
following,
and and they've also got a corporate following.
That's true.
Okay, so maybe a hockey player. Because what's interesting is you don't see the coaches. For example, you don't see, James Franklin for whatever. You don't see. It's interesting how the coaches here don't do.
Back in the day, Joe did. He did like the Yellow Pages.
Yellow Pages. He did one car. He did one car thing. He did a thing about, I think it was bread.
He did, yeah, Milano bread.
You asked him at the conference about Milano bread, and it was right around Thanksgiving. And you asked him, will Milano bread be on your table at Thanksgiving?
There you go.
And Joe said, yeah, he says, but also a lot of the food on the table will be there because of Milano bread.
Milano bread, yeah. But Joe's best food line ever was when we were at the, I forget which Outback Bowl it was. It may have been the last one in, 2010.
Yeah, with Urban, yeah.
I'm not sure if it was that one or the previous one, but, and I'm going off topic here, but it was actually, and there was a welcome press conference, and they say all these nice things about Joe. He gets up and speaks. He goes, the Outback Bowl people have been so great. I just wish you could get a good steak around here. And the whole room fell silent because it was like all these outbowl, like all the media people were laughing our rear ends off. And all the players and stuff were laughing, but like these Outback Bowl officials were like, they didn't get that sense of humor.
Yeah. You know what? That's okay. They survived.
Yeah.
Hey, pleasure. Thanks a lot for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it, Steve.
And Mark Brennan. Fight On State joining us here in the Sunbury Motors studio. We'll come back. The most interesting man in New England, bar none.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And our thanks to Mark Brendan for joining us today in the Sunbury Motors Studio. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Dick Girardi called me earlier today, and I didn't pick up right away, and I called him back. He says, where were you? I said, I was on the phone with my accountant dumping Nike stock. All right, so...
Not a good look for them last night.
Remember how that ball hung on the lip of the cup on the Tiger Woods chip on 16 at the Masters in 2005?
Yeah.
Right? The greatest advertisement ever because of the swoosh. Last night was 180 of that. Nike stock went down 2% today. 2%. And now we bring in... the first time in 2 weeks, I might add, there's been a clamoring. The most interesting man.
I missed my first show ever. And I almost missed today because I lost my cell phone. And last week was a code red situation. So Studio 305 cable went down. Oh. If I don't have cable TV, forget about it. And the cable guy showed up at 4:30. My wife at 4 o'clock, and my wife called. They're here now. I'm like, oh boy. So, you know, priorities.
Well, thank God it didn't happen during football season, though. Could be worse.
Oh my God, I gotta have cable. Well, Survivor's back on, so I've got.
By the way, I believe somebody got a hold of Sean about Big Brother.
Yeah, Celebrity Big Brother wrapped up, and I kept forgetting to ask you if you watched it.
I watched all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't miss it.
So. And Steve, I forgot to tell you, one of the contestants on Big Brother, you'll get a chuckle out of this, former NFL running back Ricky Williams. Ricky.
Yeah, he was good. He came in second place. He almost won, but the vote was 9-0. He didn't win, but he came in second place. He won $50,000.
He can use that money for that new league he's going to put together if Terrell Owens.
Yeah, well, he's like, doing a lot that's of like, stuff, too. So.
That's like saying the Rams almost won the Super Bowl. All right.
Well, I felt bad. I shot King a text on Sunday, and I texted him yesterday just to let him know that we didn't have a show tomorrow. So I'll just have to follow up and call you there at the office.
Yeah, I'm sitting here. So I'll be here all night. You call me at midnight, too. So things are going great. So, anyway, I got so much work, and I don't have enough help, and what are you going to do? So I'm lucky to have all the work I have. But
it sounds like Sean.
He's really mad at me because I haven't got it done, so... what are you going to do?
It sounds like Sean. He's got all this work. He's stuck with me. I mean, there's all sorts of issues.
Nah, not stuck with this show. Although I'd have rather stayed in the chair than going home last night to shovel. And then I wake up this morning, looks like I didn't even shovel at all.
Oh.
So hopefully with the beautiful sunshine today, I'm hearing the drip, drip, drips. So we're getting a nice meltdown, a beautiful warm afternoon. Yeah. So hopefully the driveway will be, I'll be able to see pavement when I get home tonight. So
I fired up the... fired up the snowblower and did my driveway and three others.
All right.
Well, I wanted to help them out.
And I slid all over the place. All we're getting here is ice storms. We haven't gotten more than 6 inches of snow. And it's just, it starts to snow and it turns to ice and it's an absolute mess, and then it's 50 degrees and it melts. So, but I was telling Sean, I plow here at the shop, and you just couldn't plow it. It was like 1 inch thick of ice. It was like you just slid around the parking lot, and the people in the building here, well, the owner, he owns half the restaurants in Connecticut, they had a huge meeting here at 10 o'clock, and they came over and said, you've got to plow out at least the front. I said, I can't. So I tried, and I'm driving between Mercedes and Jaguars, and I'm like, the truck's sliding all over the place. I'm like, oh, man, this isn't good. You know?
Well, you and your wife should have moved your cars.
No place to move it. Everything was frozen. I'm like, why didn't you? They come at 9:45. The meeting's at 10. I'm like, so they're all trying to pull in, and I got this, it's a bright fluorescent orange Ford F-250. It's ugly, and it's really horrible. But so you can't miss me, and here comes the Jaguar, and he's sliding, and I'm sliding with my big ugly plow, and I'm like, I'll win the fight, but I won't win the financial fight. So anyway, today was really not a good day, and it just wrapped right up with Sean calling me and saying, hey, where are you? I'm here. Studio 22, frozen. No, it's not frozen now. It's 50 degrees out and everything's gone. So that's Connecticut's winter. It really, it's just been ice. That's it.
Same down here, too. Yeah.
Very strange. And the rest of the country's getting friggin' hammered, but
yep.
We're not. So
yeah.
We got new governor, so we're all set. So, whatever. So anyway, I had the bone to pick. Manny Machado isn't worth. He's not even the best third baseman or shortstop in the league. He won't even make the All-Star team yet. He's the highest paid player in the league. That doesn't make any sense to me.
At least today he is.
Well, yeah, but somebody else will make more than $300 million. Oh, my God, he's not worth that kind of money. Yeah, last year he got traded because he was batting like 230 or something, and then he finished the year pretty good with the Dodgers, but my goodness, what's baseball doing? I don't...
Well, the Machado thing is interesting. It's a little bit different than the Robinson Cano deal. Cano was, what, 31 when he signed a 10-year, $240 million deal with the Mariners. And what's interesting about that was it was the Mariners. And here's San Diego doing the same thing. Now, there's an opt-out after 5 years, but I'm mystified by it. And I don't think it's the breakout people think. Dallas Keuchel's still not signed. Craig Kimbrell's still not signed. Harper's not signed.
There's none of them that are worth the money that they're asking. None of them. You know? If these guys are worth that much money, how much is Mookie Betts worth?
Well, that's a good question. You know? And in a year, he's going to find out.
And Mike Trout. And
Craig Kimbrell, all right, he won a World Series, so he can hang his hat on that. These other guys haven't won a thing. You know? They haven't. Machado hasn't brought his team to a World Series and won.
No.
Bryce Harper hasn't even come close. I don't understand what baseball's doing, paying these guys this kind of money. I don't. And look at the World Series. Look at the ratings on it. NFL preseason football was beating them in the playoffs. It was crazy, you know. Monday Night Football beat the World Series at I don't get it, but who am I? So.
Well, you're obviously not the owners of the San Diego Padres, because to them, they've spent money on him. People forget that they have an 8-year, $144 million deal with Eric Hosmer, okay? And they have a long-term deal with Will Myers. They've got money wrapped up in three guys. Well, they've heard of you. They've said they've told. Well, no, Hosmer says you're the most interesting man in New England. He's heard of you.
I just you know, that they're so special. Remember the show we had a couple shows ago about the new rules? These guys, they don't want to do the new rules. They're making it clear that they're not going to do it. And it goes back to what I said a couple weeks ago. You're getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars to hit a ball, you know, and catch the ball. And you're going to tell the owners and the league what you will and won't do? Then, you know what, you're fired. You can go be, you know, you can come work for me. I need help. So, you know, the new minimum wage is $15 an hour in Connecticut. I'll start you at 15, and you can work your way up. And that pitch count, that speed, 20 seconds will be looking really good when you get your first paycheck.
you know what's interesting is that, you know, near you is the Dunkin' Donuts park in Hartford.
Yeah.
Which is the AA affiliate of the, is it the Colorado Rockies?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. These guys have to spend so many years working their way through the minors. You would think that once they start getting, like, real money, I'd feel really like, wow, this is great. I'm getting real money.
I would do whatever they told me to do. I'd wash the owner's car every day.
I wouldn't.
My God.
No. No, 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 no. You got to understand, only the Sioux can wash Roger's car. Okay, so we already have ground rules set on that.
Well, I'll clean his living room. I'll vacuum his house. I don't know. They feel privileged, like they're owed something because they were born with a God-given gift. I mean, they can. And David Price, hey, he finally broke through, but he's one of the ones out there. I'm not doing that. Oh, my God. You know, it's just do it. Shut up and go do your job. You're never going to make money like this again in your life. So, you know, whatever. I hate being so negative all the time. But I don't. When I saw what Machado signed, I said, my goodness, he is a good baseball player. But that's it. He's a good baseball player, and he's not a $300 million baseball player. My goodness.
Nope.
You're looking at players on the Red Sox right now that are going to become free agents that they're going to be making $1 billion if you rate, you know, how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Machado's not even in the same class as Mookie Betts. No way. Betts can do everything.
It was interesting in the world.
He's got power, and he's a good guy. You know,
I mean, in the World Series, just on pure talent in the World Series, you would have to rate Martinez. Well, not no, you know, Betts, Martinez, Sale, Price, Benintendi. All right, those are five guys just on Boston that are better players than Machado is.
Absolutely. And they're good teammates. They're good, you know, I'm not saying Machado's not. I don't know anything about him that way.
Well, I do know he jogged down to first base a few times in the World Series when he should have been sprinting.
Yeah, I know there's been issues, you know, and the spiking issues and stuff like that. But the Red Sox, if they sign everyone, they're going to own the luxury tax, so. But they're not going to be able to sign it. They had an interesting question. If you had to choose between the two, Mookie Betts or Martinez, who would you take?
Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
Now, Martinez is the player that took them from being very good and put them over the top.
Exactly.
I also think that Martinez, to his credit, made Mookie Betts and Andrew Benintendi better power threats at the plate by his mere presence.
Right.
Because now you can't pitch around anybody in the lineup. So, I mean, he certainly had the benefit to it, just like Martinez benefited tremendously from Benintendi and Betts. I mean,
right.
It all worked together perfectly.
Yeah, it's an interesting question because the argument is they had all those players before Martinez, and they didn't win.
Right.
And then they brought Martinez in, and they were pretty much unbeatable. So
right.
If
but remember,
take Martinez back out of there, will they go back to where they were, or will they keep, you know?
You can also flip that. Martinez without Betts and Benintendi and Bogarts and those guys, he didn't have them in Arizona.
Yep.
And
so
they got to the playoffs, and that was it.
The Red Sox just got to, if they keep Betts, which I believe they should too,
yes,
they've got to get a big bopper in there to replace them. They've got to get at least 20 home runs in that spot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if they do that, I think the Red Sox are going to win at least two more World Series in the next 5 years. They're very good. Very good.
They are very good. And the starting pitching is really good. If they can get the closer part nailed down, then they'll be okay. Because, I mean, the only way they bring Kimbrel back is on a one-year contract. Nothing more than that.
I don't think they're bringing him back.
I don't think so either. I'm saying the only way they would is on a one-year contract.
Right, because they're working out, they're talking about a lot of different combinations, like even by committee, you know.
Right.
And they've got at least 3 to 4 guys who can fill that role. They might put Barnes in it. They even talked about the knuckleballer doing it.
Stephen Wright,
Yeah, he's good, you know. But,
by the way, Joe, just
baseball's almost more interesting during the off season than during the season. Just try and figure that out.
Sure.
You know?
One quick note, by the way, for everybody, Penn State football fans, Joe Lorig has been named the special teams coordinator and a defensive assistant for Penn State football. Spent the last 3 seasons at Memphis, where he was the special teams coordinator and outside linebackers coach. He'd been at Texas Tech before that. So he'll be coming in here. And he also has experience as a special teams coordinator and 8 years as a defensive coordinator. It's a big time hire for Penn State to get him in and to be the special teams coordinator. I believe at Memphis in his time there, they did not allow one punt or kickoff return his entire time there.
Wow. What happened
so they
to
just
the guy
hired,
who had the job?
Phil Galliano is with the New Orleans Saints now.
Okay. That's good. So he moved up.
Yep.
Because it was pretty rough there in the bowl game.
Yeah. Memphis, number 16 nationally and number 2 in the American Athletic in kickoff return defense, 17 yards per return. Memphis was 4th in the country in kickoff returns, 26 yards, 14 in kickoff return defense, 24 in punt return defense, and that includes net punting and so forth. So there you go.
Good. Good move.
So that's. I just want to make sure we got that out there before everybody, as they drive home right now, listening to the most interesting man in New England.
Who's going to be quarterback?
I think the guy that's going to get the first long look is going to be Tommy Stevens.
Yep. He's good.
Sean Clifford,
throw,
I think. Sean Clifford will get a good long look. But, you know, you got to give Tommy as much of an opportunity as possible because, you know what? He stayed for this opportunity, so give him every chance. You know, and
he's
in the end, pick the
person. He's not going to hurt you, that's for sure.
No.
He's good.
He can move. He's got a big arm.
Yeah.
Big arm, can move. Look, Tommy Stevens has the potential, if everything works out right, you can openly ask the question, is he this year's Mitchell Trubisky?
Okay.
Where you get that 1 year as a starter like he did at North Carolina.
Does he have a good wide receiving core?
Young? Oh, the tight end's fabulous.
Yeah, he was
Freiermuth is fabulous. The wideouts are young, but very, very talented. It's just now a question of restocking that room because of the transfers.
Right. Now, number 1's still there, right? I forgot his
Hamler.
Name.
KJ Hamler.
Yeah, he could be scary good coming into year 2.
Yeah, he's
can't wait to
real
see him.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a little maturity under him, and man, he's going to be he's a tough cover for anybody.
Well, I would think Tommy would go into spring ball with some inspiration. I mean, he had a nagging injury during the fall, and I would think he has something to prove there. And also, he wants to continue the tradition. Continuing what Trace did.
Well, look, this is his chance.
Do you think Trace will get drafted?
Trace is going to go to the combine, so he got a combine invite. That doesn't hurt you, and we'll see how he works out. He'll get some individual workouts. He has an opportunity to go in and maybe be at least initially a third quarterback for somebody.
Why do I look at him like Edelman? Is that a stretch?
Well, Edelman, of course, was able to move to wide receiver.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I don't know. That, at least right now, I can't picture that. But it doesn't mean he can't have it, because Trace McSorley will help anybody in anything.
He's a tremendous athlete. So.
He is a tremendous competitor.
Yeah. I'd give him a shot.
You don't be there too late tonight. Be safe driving home.
I walk here.
Across the street.
Yep.
Well, I'm back in it.
Across the field.
Well, I'm back on in an hour, so.
That's right. After Permanis for you.
Yep. 6:05 to 7, the Coaches Show with Patrick Chambers.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.